Okay. So,
Insight. What is insight? And how does it arise? So, just a bit more on this. So important to work on the relative level. So, work with the conditions in our life, the conditionality of our life. And work on that level to free from suffering where possible, ourselves, others. And we can't fix samsara. I can't remember who said this or where I read it, but insight is difficult, but fixing samsara is impossible. That suggests that where possible, insight is a good choice. And it's the heart of the Buddha's teachings. It's at the heart of the Buddha's teachings. There are these tools that he gave us to cut. I seem to be doing this gesture a lot. Cut, cut, cut the root. Cut the taproot, I think it says. Cut the taproot of suffering. Cut suffering at its roots. I've been enjoying that gesture. It's like a scythe or something. So how insight unfolds, I think, is quite mysterious. I find it mysterious. I feel I'm sort of learning all the time when I talk to people. I learn about the mystery of how insight arises, what it co-arises with. And people just seem to be different, basically. And the root seems to be different. So you've got sudden. I've talked to people who've had a sudden breaking open, or it's described as sudden breaking open, or then there's gradual. So there's a few metaphors the Buddha uses for the gradual arising of insight. He talks about drop by drop the bowl fills, and then there's another one where he talks about very slowly the shore inclines down to the sea. And so Bhante describes that at the age of 16, he read the Diamond Sutra and suddenly something massive broke open. And there's another order member I know who also, on his first retreat, it was the Diamond Sutra, and he just had a massive seeing through the illusion of separation, and it never changed again, never went back. Then there's the dukkha root, which seems to be intense dukkha root, not one that is chosen. As far as I've not come across anybody choosing the intense dukkha root, but it happens. And contemporary teachers like Byron Katie, some people might be familiar with Eckhart Tolle, they seem to have gone down the intense dukkha route. Unbearable suffering, independence on conditions, and then the only options are die. All wake up, and they wake up. So I think all of them, there's got to be some looking at your actual experience. There's got to be mindfulness in there somewhere. So it's so hard to tell. Often, you're doing all sorts of different practices, all have all sorts of life experience, and then insight arises. How on earth do you can't necessarily tell what gave rise to what, but it's a learning from experience. So there's got to be some kind of attention to that experience, whether it's forced by the conditions of your life, force you, or you choose it through practice. So there's got to be mindfulness and metta, and yeah, Sadhanani was talking about that. How they co-arise. There's this lovely phrase, the heart can know anything. I came across in my 20s on an American personal growth course, and it stayed with me. The heart allows us to see, allows us to turn towards. Then I was talking to someone yesterday who was saying that, their experience of knowing and seeing reality, of moments of clarity, of insight, is through work. And that kind of makes sense because you know, some kinds of work, maybe physical work. Maybe you get into really into the body, and then your mind can let go in a certain way. So that could be a route, you know, that could be a route for some people. Maybe, and then for some people, maybe it's like reflecting. Maybe it's reflecting and then just sitting, letting go. And then the seeds, the reflection, are kind of watered by the just doing nothing, the letting go. Or maybe it's not reflecting, but the practice, the kind of practice we've been doing quite a lot of, which is looking at your what's actually going on in your experience, in the body, in the senses, in the mind, and paying wise attention to that. And then maybe, then nothing particularly happens, then you practice sacred uselessness and or just sitting, and then something comes to fruition. But all of these involve a kind of letting go. And again, yeah, there's a co-arising there. So insight co-arises with letting go. So you could say it arises out of letting go. Well, it definitely leads to a letting go. Leads to letting go in our life. You know, when there's a seeing, knowing of how things are, impermanent, not controllable, insubstantial, there can be a letting go. But it's almost like it arises, insight arises out of letting go, it leads to letting go, and it kind of is letting go as well. The experience is one of some kind, you know, letting go in the mind, in the heart, in the body. So that was a bit about insight and how it arises. And now Sadhanandi is going to say some more.
I don't think I've got very much more to add, actually. I suppose a couple of things that you need for insight to arise is you need to have a strong need for it. Mm. So maybe that's the strong dukkha thing, but you need an existential need, and whatever that, however that shows up in you. Mm. And then you need to have a dharmic perspective, or you need a perspective on that that stops you from backing off away from that need. Do you see what I mean? Like often we have a need, an existential kind of crisis, and then we kind of move away from it. We distract ourselves, we turn away. So what takes us into it, takes us into the heart of that existential need, and out of that fire and brimstone, something else will arise. I mean, Bhante goes into this quite a lot in that lovely, well, excellent seminar of Wintour's trading. He did maybe 94, where they were, the managers were asking, you know, we're working away in Wintour's trading, as it was known then, Wintour's evolution. Are we just doing that until we're old enough and mature enough to do the real thing? And he's saying, no, this is where you do the real thing. And it's where difficulties arise. Like, say you lose the great sale that you were hoping you were going to get, because they were selling things. It was a business that was selling things. And the contract doesn't come off. You've got a crisis. And you had a lot invested in it, sort of psychologically as well as profit-wise. And then what are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And, yeah, Sangharaj is just drawing it all out. You need an edge. You need a real reason to be grappling with your experience. And then you need to be able to do it, do that work. So there's a couple of things. And, yeah, I think there's a number of different personality things, factors need to be taken into account. Bhante's quite good also talking about different cultural factors as well. Like he'll say, the Indian culture was more towards meditation, and the Japanese culture was more to turn towards work. So the Zen tradition's much more chop wood, gather, you know, draw water. And he was saying maybe in the West we're more attuned to insight through work. Indians are much more meditative, sitting still, more kind of relaxed, opening out, maybe more meditation. So just interesting, just to bear that in mind. There's a lot of different factors. And don't Well, it's quite interesting in terms of how you relate to order members. Like, I had to learn this the hard way, that wisdom, metta, mindfulness looks like a certain way on a certain person, in a certain personality, in a certain time. That isn't necessarily what how you're going to manifest it. How are you going to manifest it? Yeah. Open that out. How's wisdom going to manifest in you? How's metta going to manifest in you? You might find role models where it really is mirrored back very well. It might not be like that at all. But you've got to work it out for yourself. Yeah.